Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck, born 1902, died 1968. A rustic sentimental novel set in Salinas Valley, California, 20th century depression years. The principal characters are Lenny Small, a clumsy, simple-minded giant of a man, George Milton, Lenny's friend and protector, Candy, a ranch swamper, Slim, a farmhand, Crooks, a Negro stable worker, Curly, the ranch owner's virulent son, and Curly's wife. George and his ponderous friend Lenny followed a dusty path leading to the banks of the Salinas River, toting their only possessions, bedrolls and a few articles of clothing. Slow-minded Lenny had cost them their previous jobs. His innocent fascination with a young girl's red dress and his awkward attempt to touch it had frightened the girl, forcing them to flee a lynch mob. Now they were heading for a nearby ranch to sign on as barley bucks. George reminded Lenny once again to let him do all the talking when they met with the ranch owner. Lenny promised that he would, and then begged George to tell him again about the farm they hoped to own one day.
"Come on, George, tell me. Please, George, like you done before."
"You get a kick out of that, don't you?" George replied. "All right, I'll tell you, and then we'll eat our supper. The dream farm will include all sorts of animals, and Lenny will be assigned to take care of the rabbits." The two men neared the ranch. Using Lenny's love of animals as a means of control, George once more warned his friend that if he didn't keep quiet, or if he caused any trouble at the ranch, they wouldn't get the job they so badly needed, and then they couldn't earn the money for their dream farm. As hiring negotiations began, the ranch boss questioned George about Lenny's quiet and slow manner, but George was ready with an excuse.
"He's my cousin. I told his old lady I'd take care of him. He got kicked in the head by a horse when he was a kid. He's all right. Just ain't bright."
Once they were hired, both George and Lenny went right to work. Later, as they waited for lunch to be served, in sauntered Curly, the ranch owner's son. He was there to look over the new men. After Curly had gone, Candy, the bunkhouse swamper, warned them about the young man. A former prize fighter, Curly took pleasure in boosting his ego by picking on others. He was also an insecure husband. He became insanely jealous of anyone who even got near his wife. Seeming to sense that Curly would bring them trouble, Lenny now became agitated and nervous about the job. But with no money to fall back on, the pair was forced to continue working at the ranch. Before nightfall, another ranch hand, the jerkline Skinner named Slim, presented the childlike Lenny with a puppy from his dog's litter. Slim appeared to be a kind and sensitive man, so George confided in him about the troubles he and Lenny had had. As they finished their conversation, Lenny shuffled in, smiling, with his puppy hidden inside his coat. George told him to take it back to the barn to be with its mother. That evening, in the deserted bunkhouse, George, Candy, and Lenny, still cradling his puppy, quietly talked. Lenny prevailed on George to tell him still again about their future farm. When George had finished the story, Candy piped up. It seemed that he had $350 saved up and he would be retiring soon. Could he join George and Lenny in their plan? George happily agreed to Candy's proposal. With the swamper's money added to their wages, the three of them would soon have enough to buy a decent farm. Excited by this new development, Lenny was grinning with delight when Curly entered the bunkhouse in search of his wife. For days, the ranch hands had been needling Curly about his wife's most recent wanderings. Now, when the ill-humored husband spied Lenny's wide smile, and supposing that Lenny was taunting him, his temper boiled over. Curly stepped over to Lenny like a terrier. "What the hell are you laughing at?" Lenny looked blankly at him.
"Huh?"
Then Curly's rage exploded.
"Come on, you big bastard! Get up on your feet! No big son of a bitch is going to laugh at me! I'll show you who's yella!"
The giant, confused over the violent pummeling, refused at first to defend himself. George had warned him against making trouble. Lenny covered his face with his huge paws and bleated in terror. He cried,
"Make him stop, George!"
Then Curly attacked his stomach and cut off his wind. George, cupping his hands around his mouth, yelled,
"Get him, Lenny!"
Lenny took his hands away from his face and looked about for George, and Curly slashed at his eyes. The big face was covered with blood. George yelled again,
"I said get him!"
Curly's fist was swinging when Lenny reached for it. The next minute, Curly was flopping like a fish on a line, and his closed fist was lost in Lenny's big hand. Every bone in Curly's hand was crushed. Before Curly was taken to town for treatment, Slim advised him to say his hand had been caught in a machine to avoid the embarrassment of the truth. With the others on their way into town, Lenny went to visit Crooks, the black stable buck. Crooks liked talking to Lenny because of his innocent nature. Candy joined them. The shaken giant now voiced his intensified longings for escape to the tranquility and safety of the mythical farm, and he calmed himself by describing all the harmonious details of life on the glorified ranch to be. He would get to feed the rabbits, George had promised. But abruptly, this gentle vision was interrupted by the appearance of Curly's priggish wife, who had come looking for her husband. When Curly's accident was described to her, she wasn't fooled. She hinted, rather, at how pleased she was that Curly had been taught a lesson. Then, hearing the other men returning from town, she slipped out of the stable. That evening, while the ranch hands entertained themselves with games of horseshoes, Lenny stayed alone in the barn, holding his pup. He did not realize that due to his incessant mauling, the puppy was dead. As he sat in the straw, stroking the animal's fur, Curly's wife again wandered in. At first, Lenny refused to speak to her. George might not let him feed the rabbits. But the girl was able to make him feel at ease. She even let Lenny stroke her long, soft hair. After a time, she tried to pull away, but Lenny unexplainably held on. He was bewildered when the girl started to scream. He began to shake her to make her stop. However, in the process, the innocent but powerful Lenny broke the woman's neck. Later that night, Candy entered the barn expecting to see Lenny. Instead, he found Curly's wife, in the shadows, half buried in straw, dead. Lenny had disappeared. Hearing the disastrous news, George grabbed his gun to join the other men, who by now had been headed up by Curly into a revenge-seeking mob. Curly was determined to hunt down the hulking, simple-minded murderer and see justice done. But fortunately, it was George who found Lenny, trembling with fear, hiding among the bushes by the stream. George, too, was fearful of what Curly would do to Lenny when he found him. For the final time, George solemnly recounted the story of the farm for Lenny. Yes, he could care for the rabbits. Lenny then begged that they leave, right then, to seek out the farm. But George knew that they would never be capable of escaping Curly and his hatred. As Lenny gazed out over the river, George aimed the gun's muzzle at the back of his devoted friend's head and pulled the trigger. Commentary. This touching story clearly illustrates Steinbeck's political and social philosophies. In frustration over what he perceived as the failed American dream, and perhaps with intentional Marxist overtones, Steinbeck populates Of Mice and Men with struggling and bewildered heroes, common souls caught up in tragic combats as they innocently pursue the raw and elusive promise of America. The novel's tragic irony serves to pique the conscience of the reader, as well as to spotlight Steinbeck's political concerns for the equality and happiness of all members of the human family. Within the brief but dramatic three-day span covered by Of Mice and Men, the spectrum of human emotions is played out. Physical pain, misunderstood intentions, jealous rage, longings for peaceful existence, tenderness, genuine friendship, heart-rending pity, confusion, and finally, utter resignation. Steinbeck evokes the reader's most profound sympathy by the use of a simple plot, common language, and an easy, natural setting.